Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And by the way, stay connected to the Cleveland Browns with the latest news, photos, videos. If you only knew what went on in the studio and more, visit clevelandbrowns.com. Download our mobile app. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on the official Twitter account, which is at Browns, or our Instagram account at Official Browns. Make sure you do all that. Check out my column, Carucci's Call. Check out Matt Florjancic's work. Check out our videos. We got all kinds of good stuff. And we got good stuff for you right now. Some information on this Steelers team. We'll take it a little bit deeper with a longtime friend who covers that team, or who covers all Pittsburgh sports and sports in general, and has done it for many years with great, great accomplishment. He is Ron Cook, columnist for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Ron, how you doing, man?
Hey, Vic. Glad to be with you guys.
Yes.
Thank you.
Looking forward to seeing you on Sunday. Ron, start with this. They start 0-4, and after a while, you start look at teams. We were looking at the Giants kind of the same way, and the Giants took theirs to 0-6 and then suddenly started to turn some things around. It looks like this turnaround with the Steelers happened, I guess, as a lot of us would expect, with Ben Roethlisberger leading the way of it. But is it really that simple that Ben's just playing exceptionally well, and that's why they're improved?
Well, I mean, obviously that's a big part of it. He just had one of his best games of his career against Detroit last weekend, and maybe it was in response to all the rumors and reports that were out there about him last week. They started slow. I think the first loss to Tennessee, though, Marquise Pouncey, their Pro Bowl center, went down on the eighth play of the game, and they never recovered that day. He was taken down by friendly fire. David DeCastro, the guard, pulled and unfortunately rolled up on Pouncey's knee. He was never the same that whole game. The first game I kind of write off, but then they lost three more to go to 0-4. They won a couple, and you're thinking they're back into it, including a real nice win at home against Baltimore. But then they go to Oakland and find a way to lose. Gave up a 93-yard run to Terrell Pryor on the first play. And then they'd get blown out by New England, the worst defensive performance in franchise history. So now they come back and win two more games. I don't know what to think about them, Vic. I've been wrong about them all year. They beat Buffalo. They beat Detroit. It won't surprise me if Cleveland beats them this week. They still have issues on the offensive line. But as you all know, Roethlisberger's good enough to beat anybody. So we'll see.
Ron, when you look at this team and the performance more specifically of Ben Roethlisberger the last couple of weeks, two games with more than 350 yards passing, four touchdowns, seems like he's running a little bit more out of the no huddle than he was earlier in the season. How important is that for him, and how did that kind of development come about?
Oh, he loves it. He wishes he could play it every play.
Keep Haley out of it.
but he's comfortable. He wanted to do it under Bruce Arians, who was his buddy when he was the coordinator here, and Arians wouldn't let him do it exclusively. We didn't see much of it until this past week. They used it a lot. They come out with the first two possessions and scored touchdowns. Now, both of those touchdowns were the result of short passes to Antonio Brown, who turned them into long touchdown catches, catch and run. Ben loves it. They say they can't do it like on a regular basis because they only practice so many plays. They're limited by it. And then Tomlin brought up the technology that the overhead mics on these plays, you can hear the Ben calling the signals, and he thinks other teams can pick up on that. So they figure they can't use it exclusively. They try to pick their spots with it. But it's a way to speed up the game. Ben loves it. The receivers love it because he throws the ball a lot out of it. But I don't know that we're going to see it nearly as much this week as we did last week against Detroit.
Just a quick follow-up. You talked about the receivers loving it as well. We know what a great season Browns had. Jericho Cotchery doing well. Emmanuel Sanders left last week with a foot injury. What's his status for Sunday?
Yeah, it looks like he's going to play. I guess he practiced yesterday. I have not heard, not seen the injury report from today. They have a draft choice, a rookie, Marcus Wheaton, who missed a lot of time with a broken finger. He got some significant playing time last week, and I don't think they're afraid to use him. But it looks like Sanders should be okay. And Heath Miller looked like the old Heath Miller last week, even though he dropped the touchdown pass with that roll. You got to hold it on to the ball through completion. He had to catch. He landed in the end zone, and the ball squirted out, so it was considered a drop. Heath is a big-time target still for Ben. And as you said, Antonio Brown's just had a great year.
You know, and you talk about those receivers, Ron, in the way they can spread you out, however they do it, whether it's no huddle or not, they can spread you out, and the key then becomes, you know, what happens after your top corner and maybe your top two corners, because nobody has really three or four guys to match up. And it looks to me like the spreading that this Steeler team can do would put pressure even on a good second, or at least a secondary for the Browns that has one exceptional shutdown guy in Joe Hayden, and Buster Skrine has played well, but this is going to be the game that tests the Buster Skrines, the Chris Owenses. You know, it's going to test the depth of that secondary.
Well, I mean, obviously it would help if the Browns get to Roethlisberger. Now, he got rid of the ball awfully quickly last week. His offensive line is still kind of a mess, although it did a nice job last week, but Detroit's pass rush isn't known as much as its run defense, and the Steelers have not been able to run the ball basically all year, guys. And Le'Veon Bell, their number two draft choice, they're kind of their back of the future. I think he had 18 carries for 36 yards last week. They basically won with Roethlisberger throwing it all over the lot. And I don't like their chances to do that without being able to at least run the ball a little bit. And it's been a problem all year. Bell was hurt early on in the season. He missed time. And the line, as I said, has just been a mess all season long. And they've not been able to run the ball. So I think if the Browns can force them to be one-dimensional, the Browns will have a chance against them.
And perhaps not even the Browns, but a combination of the Cleveland Browns and the weather expected to be in the 20s, high winds, potential for some precipitation as well in that game. If this turns into that kind of...
What is it about Cleveland that the weather always stinks up there, you know? Yeah. I remember a couple years ago, remember that Thursday night game, Vic? It's the coldest I've ever been in my life.
Horrendous.
And I, you know what? I knew the Steelers were in trouble that Thursday night, because when I'm looking up at the TV and I see Ben, NFL Network showing Ben warming up in the tunnel. I said that wasn't.
Well,
good,
he's doing
good
it. He does that regularly now, by the way. He'll warm up to a little bit at Heinz Field in the tunnel. So that's the coldest I've ever been in my life. And the Browns obviously won that game and cost the Steelers a playoff spot that year. Yeah, I mean, the weather's, you know, they're going to be prepared for it. I think Ben likes playing in bad weather. He doesn't like wind. And 2 weeks ago they played Buffalo here, and he said it was one of the worst wind days he's ever played in. And they were lucky that E.J. Manuel was the quarterback of Buffalo, and he struggled even worse with it. But I don't think the weather will bother Ben. But it sure would be nice to be able to run the ball a little bit, and they haven't shown me they can do that.
Ron Cook, who is from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, joins us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
And, Ron, you talk about their inability to run the ball. Defensively, they haven't done a great job stopping the run this year either. What's your take on this defense? Because, you know, typically with the Steelers, you can't run on them. They are a great pass defense. They don't give up the big plays. Yet this is a team that you can run a little bit on, and the average passing touchdown against them this year is 31.8 yards, second most in the NFL.
Yeah, you know what Dick LeBeau preaches? Don't let anybody get behind you. Don't give up a big play. And then his number three rule is don't give up a big play. And his number four rule is don't give up a big play. And they've given up a ton of them, whether it was Pryor running for the 93 yards, or the other day in that second quarter, they had a 79-yard pass to Calvin Johnson. They've given up so many of these big plays. Now, they claim it's because they've struggled to stop the run. That certainly hurt them in New England. I don't know if you guys saw that game. It was 610 yards and 55 points, the worst day in Steelers franchise history defensively. So I don't know if it's a combination of getting old. I don't think Troy Polamalu's had a great year, nor has Ryan Clark. They're the two veteran safeties. When they struggle, I think the whole defense struggles. They're not getting a lot of pass rush, although they did a little bit more the last couple weeks. And for a long time, this defense didn't force any turnovers at all, hardly. They've come up with a few more of those. Now, I don't know what to expect to show up. The defense that gave up 27 points to Detroit in the second quarter and let Matthew Stafford throw it all over the lot, of the one that held Stafford to like three of 16 for 35 yards in the second half. Calvin Johnson didn't catch a pass. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know which one will show up.
Hey, Ron.
I don't think they're afraid of the Cleveland offense, which hasn't been very good. But I'm not sure what's going to show up.
Ron, we talk about relationship between player and a coach, and of course the much discussed relationship between Ben Roethlisberger and Todd Haley, the offensive coordinator, and the friction that's there. Someone reminded me a little history. They said, you know, there were a lot of years when the head coach of the Steelers, a guy named Chuck Knoll, didn't always have the best relationship, didn't have the best relationship, period, with a quarterback by the name of Terry Bradshaw. Somehow the two of them worked it out and each got to the Hall of Fame while that Steeler team went on to win four Super Bowls. Can they coexist? I mean, can Ben, is that a lesson to tell us that Ben and Haley can find a happy coexistence even if they're not always happy together?
Yeah, I'm one of Vic that believes that's a little bit overrated. Ben didn't get along with Ken Whisenhunt when he was the coordinator here. They won a Super Bowl together. He loved Bruce Arians. He loved working with him. They won a Super Bowl together. People forget that last year the Steelers were 5-3 playing Kansas City at home, and they ended up winning that game, but Ben got hurt late in the first half. There was talk he might be league MVP back then. He was playing so well. He came back, missed four games, was never the same. This year, he's thrown for more yards and more completions after 10 games than any Steelers quarterback in history. Now, you can say maybe that's a product to a degree of being behind a lot and having to throw. Roethlisberger loves this offense when he wins. He loves everybody around him. He loves his coaches. He loves his teammates. And when he loses, he hates everybody, the coaches, his teammates, most of all himself. I've never been around a greater competitor than him, and I think that's part of the problem. When they lose, and they've lost six times this year, he's not very happy. But I think that's kind of what you want from your players, right? You don't want them to be happy when they lose. So
true.
I absolutely think they can survive together. Now, what happens after the year, I can't say. I wouldn't be surprised if they continue to lose, that both Haley and the legendary Dick LeBeau here, I think both of them could be gone after this season if the season ends up on a real sour note.
Ron, thank you so much for your generous time, your insights, and again, look forward to seeing you on Sunday. Bundle up.
All right, Vic. Look forward to seeing you. Nathan, take care, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Ron.
He is Ron Cook, outstanding columnist for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, does a tremendous job covering that football team and all other sports in and around Pittsburgh, around the country. We've got more coming up for you. You're going to hear from Gerard Cherry in a little bit. We want to hear from you. And again, we'll get into your tweets at Browns_Daily. But you can call us, 216-578-0850. Barks from the Pound. Always welcome them. Vic, Nathan, CBD.